Rachel Grimm, and welcome to the podcast With All Your Mind. I'm here to help us understand the Bible with cultural and historical context, linguistic info, and other cool stuff. Enjoy. Hey guys, welcome back. This is Rachel, and this is With All Your Mind. And I wish you could see my little recording setup. So back in the fall sometime, we're now in January, back in the fall sometime, a couple months ago, my husband and I bought a new couch, and it's a recliner couch, like it has recliner feet on the ends of the couch. And that meant that we could get rid of this really horrible little ottoman that was splitting down the middle. And the boys would constantly be like rolling it onto its side and like trying to rip the stuffing out of the middle. It just needed to go. And it's great because it's one less thing to have in the living room and I like my space. Unfortunately, it was only when I started recording podcast episodes again that I was like, oh no, that's what I put the microphone on. And now I don't have anything good to put the microphone on because it was perfect. It was like I could balance one book on the edge of this black ottoman. And it would be right at mouth level, and I could scooch it real close to me. And now, yeah, I'm trying all different things now, but I have a stack of like 4 books on a different ottoman that I have to like stack the books in a way that I can have them hanging over the edge of this kind of curved ottoman. And then I have another book that's like a counterbalance to the microphone. So basically, it got a little more complicated. I did not realize that black ottoman was so very important. But yeah, it was apparently pretty important for the podcast. Okay, before we jump into what we're talking about today, I wanted to remind you guys of something, and that is that I am usually putting resources into the show notes. That means that if I mention a resource in the podcast, I put it into the show notes so that you can access it too. And if there's interesting links to look at, I put those in. And I know the format is messed up. Podcasting platforms do that. I have it all very nice and sometimes bullet pointed when I do it up. And then it goes out to these different podcast platforms and they mess it all up. And they just squish it all together into one paragraph that looks awful and it's hard to read. I'm sorry, it's not my fault. But if you want resources, look in there. There's usually at least a couple of things in there. And also, my podcast email is in there if you ever want to ask me a question, comment on something, maybe give me some information that I missed, or maybe you think I don't know. Maybe I don't. I don't know. Tell me. And if you have any requests for if there was something that I mentioned and you want more information about it. So use that email if you want to. One more FYI, and that is that the podcast probably will not be available on Pandora anymore if you guys use Pandora. Apparently, they're switching over their system so that podcasters that provide content to Pandora have to pay to provide it to Pandora now. So I won't be doing that. I just do the free stuff. So no, I'm not doing that. So if you're listening on Pandora, I don't even know if you would be getting this episode if you were listening on Pandora, but eventually you're going to start seeing changes in Pandora. And one of them will be that this podcast will not be on there eventually. I don't know when it's going to stop. Okay, let's get to what we're getting to today. And that is Hebrew stuff. If you haven't heard, I kind of like Hebrew and we're going to do a lot of Hebrew stuff coming up. But I really do like Hebrew a lot. And it's for a lot of reasons, but one of them, and this might be encouraging to you, one of them is that it's an underdog. It's hard. It's difficult to learn. And it's not that studied. So people aren't a big fan of it because it's hard. So if you like the underdog, that's Hebrew. You should be voting for it, okay? I am. But lately, I've been really learning a lot about a bunch of stuff that I've never learned about before. I think I mentioned this already in the first episode, but I'll just kind of give you a rundown of what I've been doing. I just finished an audit class in November. I learned a whole ton of stuff in there, and we're going to touch on some of those things, including today. I went to a conference in November where I went to almost all Hebrew linguistics seminars, learned a whole bunch of stuff. And I mentioned, by the way, about I went to a session. I mentioned this in the last episode when we talked about acrostics. I got the paper from the woman that was giving a presentation on acrostics at SBL. Now, she said that I could not make it available to anybody because she has not published it yet herself. It was her research that she was presenting at SBL, getting feedback on it, getting critiqued and all that. But she hasn't published it yet in a journal or for her dissertation or whatever she's going to publish it as. So I cannot provide it to you. If you're interested, you can email me. I don't know who really cares enough about acrostics to want an academic paper on it, but hey, that might be you. Send me an email, text me if you know me, and I can send you her email and she can send it directly to you. She said just use it for personal use. So yeah, there was all sorts of stuff at this conference that was just really good stuff. The stuff we're going to talk about today is not from the conference, but actually another session touched on a similar idea. So it's definitely being talked about. The big idea that I want to touch on today is how the Bible sounds, the way that the Bible sounds. We're going to talk about some of the things that help make sense of why the Bible sounds the way it does. Some things are going to click into place for you. Let's start with this. Have you ever assumed, or when you read the Bible, thought, this sounds really formal? Like the Old Testament, when you read the Old Testament, do you imagine a lot of characters like Abraham and Moses and Joshua not really ever smiling? Even like David, who was more of an emotional guy, we kind of still see them as stiff and formal and austere and stern, maybe proud. Do you get that feel? I definitely get that feel. That they always did things in very particular ways. They barely ever laughed. They weren't exactly friendly. They might have been, what we use the word, hospitable, but friendly, making you feel comfortable, happy. Would we describe these characters as happy? Is that why we stick to the word joyful? Because it's easier to think of somebody as being kind of austere, but thankful. And we can't really say happy. Does that make sense? Do you think of Bible characters as being that way, especially in the Old Testament? I do. And there's a reason behind that. One of the reasons why, and this is a very generalized reason why, is because of the King James Bible. It's a way that actually a lot of us memorized Bible verses. The most common and popular phrasing for the Bible is the King James Bible, because it used to be such a standard, right? It used to be so common that it was the way a lot of people used to memorize the Bible. I actually listened to some other YouTube videos when I was on the plane going to that conference in November, and they were talking about how having so many different versions of the Bible makes it so that people don't have a common experience of the Bible anymore, because you can't ask a whole congregation to read a Bible verse in their Bible because you're going to have five different versions read and it's just going to be a mumble, mumble, mumble because people aren't going to be saying the exact same words at the exact same time. So it's broken down a bit of the communal experience of the Bible to have so many different versions of the Bible, whereas in the 1940s, say, if you asked five people to read out of the Bible, they might all have the King James Version. There just weren't as many, not as many versions available, and most people just had a King James. So that is one side effect. But a lot of us, I'm almost 41, so I did grow up either memorizing things out of the King James Version or the NIV. But a lot of the times when I think about Bible verses, I end up thinking of them in the King James Version. So a way to test this for yourself, tell me any part of the Ten Commandments. How do you say it? I automatically start saying, thou shalt not. Sometimes I will think, you will not, but I don't know where that comes from. So test yourself. See what version of the Bible do you actually have anything at all memorized in? it might feel really familiar in the King James Bible. And that's a very formal version to us because it's not modern English. It's Middle English. Okay? So that's just a general one. And this is the part that I wanted to get to. It's a Hebrew linguistics thing. We're going to make it really applicable, really easy to understand, though. And it blew my mind. Different languages, and this is a thing that's true for all languages in the world, different languages have two different ways of talking about the verbs of motion. And when I say verbs of motion, I mean, how do you say go? Go. And I'm talking about movement, any kind of movement. I drive to the store. I walk to the store. I danced to the store. I slithered to the store. I flew to the store. Any way that you can talk about moving from point A to point B is a verb of motion, okay? And in the world, there are two different ways that languages can do verbs of motion. Because yes, verbs of motion are their own special little category of verbs, and they're just different. I still remember, I distinctly remember learning verbs of motion in Russian. And this was the first time. Russian was the first language that I learned that I really got into it and I really understood it and I really loved it. And verbs of motion were categorized that way in Russian. You talked about verbs of motion. I'd never heard that phrase before, but it was just like, how do you get from point A to point B? Do you walk there? Do you drive there? Do you fly there? Do you go on the bus? Do you stroll there? You know, we have lots of different ways to talk about going. And some of them tell us how we went, and some of them just tell us that we went. Going is different than slithering or crawling. The languages of the world break down verbs of motion into two different categories, movement and manner. Manner means how did you do it? In what way did you do it? Okay, so movement and manner. So some verbs just tell us the motion. You go. And then there's verbs of motion that gives us the manner as well. Skedaddle. Skip. I skipped to the store. Or hop. I hopped to the store. Maybe you're a runner and you want to make your trip to the store count as your workout. So you do high knees. I did high knees all the way to the store. I did strides all the way to the store. I sprinted all the way to the store. This gives us the manner. It tells us how we got there. It doesn't just tell us the direction, the fact that we went there. It tells us that we went, and it tells us how we did it, okay? In English, we can say either that someone walked to the store or that they were so happy they fluttered down the sidewalk to the store. It's imaginative, but the most important part is that it tells us the direction plus the manner, the way that it happened. The direction plus how the movement looked or seemed or is even imagined to appear. Some languages can combine those two ideas, like in English. We have no problem doing that, and it makes it sound very creative. It's very efficient. We can just say one verb, I fluttered to the store, and there's all your information, done. English can do that, and we do it very often. Waltz on over to that there kitchen and get me a sandwich. We can twirl somewhere. We can jog somewhere. We can sprint somewhere. We can slide somewhere. I slid into the booth, right? If you're going into a restaurant, you're going into a booth, you can slide into the booth. Hebrew is on the different end of the world with this, and Hebrew cannot combine these two ideas in one word. The manner and the direction must be expressed in two different words. It's basically a linguistics law. And these things are on a spectrum. It's not like 100% Hebrew can never, ever, 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 ever do this. And English always, 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 always puts the two together in one word. It's just, there's a spectrum. And some languages lie right in the middle where they can do one or the other. But Hebrew is on the far end of the spectrum of not really doing this very much at all. So in Hebrew, that means that we could not say they were so happy they danced to the store or they fluttered to the store. Hebrew cannot do that. Hebrew would have to say, they were so happy, they walked to the store, dancing as they went. Is this starting to sound like a Bible right here? Yeah. If biblical Hebrew were to be used by somebody getting into a restaurant, they might say, go and slide into that booth, or go and sit down in that booth, rather than just saying, slide into that booth. That means that in Hebrew, some things just sound a little bit more formal and clunky, cumbersome, like overloaded, like you're working too much, like bruh, you're doing too much, right? It sounds like Hebrew is working really hard and being really formal and stiff. So let's use some examples from the Bible here. It leads to sentences like this, 2 Kings 9:16. And you don't need any context, but basically it is Jehu rode and went to Jezreel. Okay? Jehu rode and went to Jezreel. That means he got on a horse and went to Jezreel. Why not say he just rode to Jezreel? Well, that's because it tells us the manner. It tells us that it was on a horse that he went to Jezreel. Biblical Hebrew cannot combine those two ideas. In English, we could just say, Jehu rode on a horse to Jezreel. Okay? We could just do that. Simple. Easy peasy. In biblical Hebrew, we must say, Jehu rode and went to Jezreel. It sounds like too much. It sounds very formal, right? It sounds like we're... This is what I imagine. I imagine like somebody in like a Victorian England court scene, like the guy that has a scroll in front of him, and he's announcing all the people that walk into the room, the right honorable princess, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? That's the dude that's reading these passages to me in my head. It sounds so formal because it's so many words, and it seems like they're not being efficient. They're not being casual about it. Jehu rode and went to Jezreel. It just sounds formal to me. Here's another example, and this is Genesis 37:28, and this is the scene where Joseph got thrown into the pit by his brothers, and the Midianite merchants come along, and Joseph gets sold to them. So this is out of the King James. I had to get it out of the King James because our modern translations combine these words. So King James says, then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Okay? So this is the line. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit. So that means they were basically pulling on ropes and pulling Joseph out of the pit. In modern English and in modern translations of this passage, it says, and they pulled Joseph up out of the pit. But they can't say that in Hebrew. They would have to say they pulled up on the ropes and got Joseph out of the pit, because the manner is by pulling on ropes. Up out of the pit came Joseph. That's the direction. They drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit. When I looked at it in the NIV, it just says that Joseph's brothers pulled him up out of the pit. So in our modern English translations, it is changing what is specifically said. It's using different verbs. Because in biblical Hebrew, they had to do things a certain way because the rules of grammar just said you had to. It was just like, you can't do that. So they didn't. But in modern English, we can simplify things. We can put together those two different ideas of manner and direction. And so we do. And it's not a problem. So an interesting fact is that modern Hebrew now can be more like English, where it does combine manner and direction, puts those both ideas into one verb, so that you could say that Joseph was pulled out of the pit and done. Just one verb. And like I said, languages are often on a kind of spectrum with this, where sometimes they use verbs that combine the two ideas, and sometimes you need separate verbs to do the different ideas. It's not all one or the other, which, by the way, is a very good rule of thumb with linguistics and languages. If you ever see YouTube videos or Instagram videos, or basically it's often on social media because it's bite-sized, saying Hebrew always does this, Hebrew never does that, this language can never ever do that, this language is the only one, they're almost always oversimplifications where they're trying to make it more exciting than it really is. Okay. So modern Hebrew can do things this way that we do in English now, kind of be more creative, more flexible, more concise. Biblical Hebrew, not so much. So Biblical Hebrew was just on that end of the spectrum. A pretty interesting thing that I found was I was just scrolling through on my phone. I have a Google News feed, and they're picking up on the fact that I like linguistics and language stuff. There was just a recent study done, and somebody was using Turkish and English as languages to compare. And they were basically trying to figure out something with sign language, kind of our innate home sign language, like what you would do with your kids, not a formal learned sign language. And they were using verbs of motion and this exact idea as kind of their place to study how we come up with our homegrown sign language. Like if you point at yourself to say me or point at somebody else to say you, what exactly is your hand doing there? What is universal about all of that? There was just a study about sign language, and they were just specifically looking at verbs of motion to see when we do verbs of motion with our hand signals. Do we do it all together like in English? Or do we do it separately with manner and direction like in Biblical Hebrew? So this is something that isn't just talked about by Rachel Grimm on With All Your Mind podcast. This is an important topic for linguistics, and it changes how we view the world. But in our case here, it changes how a text sounds. Does it sound more formal? Does it sound more casual? Does it sound friendly? Or does it sound stiff and foreign? So just something to keep in mind when you're reading the Bible. It was first written in languages that you probably do not know, and with grammar rules that you might not be familiar with. And just because it sounds stiff or formal doesn't mean that the people that the language is talking about were stiff and formal too. It might just come across that way because of language rules that have nothing to do with the personality, characteristics, or facial expressions of the people in the Bible. So just a reminder that when you're reading your Bible, remember that these were real people that did giggle and skip and hop. But the verbs that were used might not reflect that exactly how we're used to. Okay? So I'm going to leave it there. I hope you guys have a great day, and I'll see you again next time. Bye.